Welcome to the Six Figure Speaker Spotlight, the podcast where we uncover the secrets of CEOs, entrepreneurs, and visionaries who've used public speaking to skyrocket their businesses and their bottom line. Get ready for captivating stories, valuable insights, and practical wisdom from the trailblazers who've mastered the art of the stage. I'm your host, Kelly O'Hara, and I'm thrilled to bring you their experiences and expertise directly to you. Let's get started. Welcome back to the Six Figure Speaker Spotlight, the show where we cut through the fluff and we get real about how using your voice can blow the doors off your business growth. I'm Kelly O'Hara, and around here, we don't do surface level. We talk to the movers, the disruptors, and the leaders who know that owning the mic is often the difference between being invisible and becoming unstoppable. So if you've ever wondered how to turn your message into momentum and your story into a serious strategy, today's guest is about to drop a masterclass. Today, I've got someone in the hot seat who's not just speaking into the mic, he's building empires with it. Elsie Flennard III is a storyteller, a strategist, and a straight-up force when it comes to amplifying purpose-driven voices. He's the founder of Podcast Town, the host of Journey to Mastery, and the author of Flamestarter, a must-read for entrepreneurs who want to elevate without burning out. From a town of 600 people to mentoring leaders and brands across the country, Elsie's journey is a blueprint for building something real without selling out. He's a creative with a business brain, an engineer turned entrepreneur, and a family man who knows the mastering yourself, that's the real flex. We're getting into self-mastery, voice amplification, faith, podcasting, and what it really takes to turn your mission into movement. This isn't about vanity metrics or fake followers. This is about building something that lasts. So let's go. Elsie Flennard, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Kelly. Can I have a favor? I need to take that intro and take it wherever I go. That was amazing. Thank you.
I'm excited. Good. That's a good lead in to talking to someone who is fascinating. And that's what we're blessed with on this show. We just get the best of the best. So you are here. Now, look, you've worn a lot of hats. You've been an engineer and an artist and an entrepreneur, and none of them came with a script. What was the moment that you knew that this traditional path in life, it's not for you, and that your voice was meant for something more?
To be honest, Kelly, I knew pretty early on. I knew two things. I knew I wanted a family because I didn't have the one I thought I deserved growing up. And I knew I wanted to own my own business. I didn't know much else other than that growing up, but I knew those two things. And so I was always weirded out by the whole idea of retirement. When people would say, I'm going to work for 40, 50 years and then I'm going to retire. I'm like, why don't you live now and then enjoy it? And then enjoy it more when you want to do something different. So I've always been different that way in the way I thought and in the way I approach things. So I've always been this weird.
It's really different that at that young age, you were thinking about retirement, and you must be a visionary, because the truth is people did think back then. When we were kids, you thought, I work until I'm 60, unless I'm super successful, and then I retire early. And really, retirement is the next chapter. But the truth is, you had no idea. Nobody has any idea, had any idea that we were going to be living till 90 or 100. You're going to be busy. So if you haven't figured out the entrepreneur's path, you know, nobody has the 30-year gold watch. You get to retire with a big, that's not happening anymore. Now, being entrepreneurial is not just a fun pastime. It's a requirement. And it's a blessing. Think of it. To get to create new chapters along the way, the more wisdom you get, what could be better?
Yeah. I was having a conversation with my son, who's brilliant, by the way. He's 10. And we were talking about technology, AI, its impact on the world, its impact on business. And we were talking about in 5 to 10 years, what is it going to look like when AI can do a lot of the jobs that exist today? And my comment to him was, we're going to have to learn how to be human. What does that even mean? What does it look like to not have to work 8 hours a day? Maybe you only need to work 4 hours. What do you do with the rest of your time? How do you exist in a world that's enabled by technology? It's not something to be afraid of, in my opinion. It's something to embrace and to prepare for, because it's, ready or not, it's here, and it's only going to get worse before it gets better. So it's, for me, it's about how do we live, not just exist, right? How do we live? How do we maximize our potential? How do we enjoy every moment? How do we thrive in this thing that's called life, which is a gift?
Such a timely conversation. It's wonderful you're talking to your son about it. And I think that the audience is really interested in this topic too, for this reason. There's a generation, like my generation, work ethic was everything. Who you were and who you are is based on how much you produce in life, whatever that is, whether you're an entrepreneur, you work for another company, a lot of your value is attached to that. Now, then the next generation, I'm just saying, they're a little less interested in all of that. They want to have more fun. They actually want to have a life in balance. They want to enjoy themselves, which I envy them a little bit on that level. But what if you add that force of AI, you're absolutely right. If you add that component to it, a lot of the jobs that were mundane, that were considered really boring and mundane, can now be done in other ways by robots or by the inclusion of AI tools. And now you have a chance to tap into your own creativity, to come up with new things. What I love about human beings is that when things are at their worst, we seem to be at our best. That's when we dig deep. We're also highly adaptable. It doesn't even matter how bad the situation gets. We figure out how to adapt. Some people do it a little faster than others, but we're a very adaptable species. So I'm excited to see this younger generation, your son now, he's not going to be afraid of AI because he'll grow up with it. We all were afraid to break the computers. Oh my God, what if I screw this up? I can't fix it. They aren't afraid of that. They're fearless. So imagine putting those people, they will be smarter, they will be capable. Hopefully they have the moral integrity that is required to make it good for all people. But it's really an exciting time for them. This will be second nature to them.
Yeah. Yeah. He already uses it. He wants it out today as the recording of this podcast. He wants to be a doctor. And so he'll work with AI to ask questions like, what do I need to do to go to medical school, or what different specialties? And so he's already engaging with it to do research, to ask it questions, to do A/B testing. And so he's already, when I think about where I was when I was his age, it's not even close. It's not even close to the access to information and the iterative nature of the research now that he can do that I just didn't have access to. It's phenomenal.
Going to be eons ahead, and hopefully he will create new things we can't even begin to imagine. All the movies you and I've watched over the years, they all of that was sci-fi back then all exists now. I laugh when I used to be a big Star Trek fan, with the first Star Trek, with my crush in life was William Shatner as Captain Kirk, and communicators and all the wonderful space travel. All of that exists now. Minority Report. Do you remember that movie with Tom Cruise?
Love
where they
that
had all
movie.
Stuff pulled up in 3D. That all of that exists now. So it goes to show you, in the minds of many creators, it's already here. The Matrix. Go back and watch that now. If you watched it 12, 20 years ago, it was one movie. You go watch it now and it's a different movie. It's got there's a lot more thought process behind this than I think people enjoyed or entertained earlier. So I'm very excited, and I can tell you're excited about all this too. So one of the things we need to talk about is that you come from a town of 600 people, and you now are speaking to global leaders. You've been on both ends of the spectrum. How did your upbringing shape your view of things now?
So it was 600 last time I checked, Kelly, but every time I go and check again, it's less. What's funny is it's like in a few years, there'll only be 200 people. But my upbringing is interesting because we didn't have a ton, but I never really understood or felt that we didn't have a ton, because my mom did a fantastic job with all of us, just with love and nurturing. But my grandma, Literally, I could tell her, hey, grandma, I'm going to build a rocket ship and go to the moon. And she would be ready the next morning with her hat and her purse, ready to go. She, I think, believed in me more than I believed in myself. That's the kind of support I had. My sisters and my siblings, they believed in me. I don't know why, but they did. They believed in me. And that was the type of energy and the support that I took with me, no matter what I did. So whether it was going to college or starting a business or getting married, having a family, I always had that support system. And so that really set the way that I approach life and the way I approach business. It was the Southern rule. No stoplights, one gas station, one grocery store. Everybody knows everybody. I didn't even have internet at home in high school. So it was that type of upbringing where I went to the park and played basketball all day, and I walked home and went to school. Like, it was a fantastic upbringing. I'm so glad, even though it wasn't perfect, I'm glad it happened the way it happened because it shaped who I am today.
It seems from everything I've read about you and gotten to research about you, and just how you just described it, it seems like authentic conversation is really what you're about. I think, and in speaking to your parents and your grandparents, and to have that kind of support in a small, intimate environment, what a great grounding that you've had to now come out and be a man of conversation with anybody. That's a comfort zone for you. I think it's always been that way, hasn't it?
For sure. I wrote my first song when I was 5 years old in a bathtub. And so I've always gravitated. I'm always teased. Everything that I'm passionate about involves two things: me talking in a microphone, whether that's speaking, singing, podcasting. Give me a microphone and let me go. So it's and bury me with the microphone and headphones, like literally red ones, preferably. So my wife, if you're watching this, I'm serious. That's the gift, right? And I want to maximize it. I want to die empty. I don't want any conversation, any idea, anything that I'm supposed to give to people through my voice. I don't want it to go to waste. And so I'm very vigilant about making sure that I'm using this gift and giving it away as much as possible. So I love it. Hopefully you could tell, but I just love meeting people, telling stories, and helping them tell their story.
I feel like one of the things I also love about you is just aside from the fact that you came out of the uterus literally with a microphone in your hand, I think there's also a beauty in you of being comfortable in your own skin. Maybe that's just how you arrived on the planet in this particular lifetime, or maybe it's this wonderful intimate support that you've had. But I think that's why people feel so comfortable with you. I've noticed that. What made you decide? Really, this should be a very short part of this. Is that, wow, I love to talk. I'm great at conversation. I'm really interested in people. I really love to connect. Start a podcast. Why don't I create Podcast Town? Let's talk about that. What gap did you see in the market that you decided to launch Podcast Town? And what do you think that has been the biggest transformation you've seen it creates for your clients and the people that gravitate to you?
Would you believe if I told you the first time that I sang in public, people didn't know that I could talk?
Really?
I was not a talkative child, ironically enough. I don't know. It was something, a switch happened, and because I'm a thinker. And so growing up, I did a lot of thinking. So maybe I did a lot of thinking up front before I opened my mouth.
Oh,
But once
thank
I
you.
opened it, it just never closed again. So there's that. But I think for me, it was a process and an iteration of me becoming. I wasn't always this comfortable in my own skin, but I think it was a matter of the journey of really understanding who I really am, but more importantly, who I'm not. And being okay with both, right? Being okay with who I am and being okay with who I'm not, and being okay with the seasons in my life where I had to walk alone because we weren't seeing eye to eye, or maybe it was walking away from a relationship or a situation. So just through that process of figuring out those types of shifts and transitions, I think helped me to be as comfortable in my skin that as I am, because I've done a lot of jobs when I was growing up trying to figure out this whole adult thing. And through that, I had to learn how to meet new people. I had to learn how to deal with different personalities. I had to learn how to deal with people who don't like you, but you still have to work with them. You still have to show up. You still have to do excellent. Like, how do you navigate that? I had to learn the hard way. Sometimes I got it right. Sometimes I got it wrong. Sometimes I got it right, but it was still wrong. Sometimes it was wrong, but it was still right. So I had to learn those things. And going through those different jobs and positions, I always hated them. I never had a job. I have one job that I've had in life, and I'm 43 now, that I liked. All the rest of them, I'm like, okay, I'm working this full-time job, doing a side hustle, and nothing is working. I can't figure out how to make money with this side gig so I can quit this thing that I hate. And one day I'm sitting in my basement and I'm like, okay, I got to figure this out because I can't keep going this way. I'm working way too many hours. It's impacting my relationships. It's impacting my health. I cannot do both for forever. But I don't know many business people. I don't have access. And so I said, okay, I'll start a podcast. And I'll ask them all the questions that I want to know. What is marketing? What is branding? What's operate? Like, all the questions. And so that's what I did. And I, at the time, I had hair, Kelly. So I went to my barber and I said, hey, barber, I'm starting a podcast. You're a business owner. Would you be on my podcast? And he said, what's a podcast? And he said, sure, whatever the podcast is, I'll be on it. So he was my very first guest on my very first podcast. And I'll never forget, it rained that night. At the time, it was a live stream radio show podcast. It rained and the power went out before we started recording. And long story short, power eventually comes back on. We do the episode. And so that was my plan. I didn't have one. I didn't know how to monetize it. I didn't know anything about podcasting, but I did know there's a gap in where I want to be and where I am. And this podcast was the way to close that gap. And after every show, I would ask my guest, I would give them some context. I would tell them, hey, I'm working this full-time job. I'm doing this podcast for these reasons. Here's what I'm trying to do. And I would ask them, if you were me in my shoes, what would you do? And one day, Kelly, a guest of mine said, Elsie, given what you've told me, what you're trying to do, I would help people start podcasts. That had literally never occurred to me because I didn't know. I didn't have a plan. I said, I am pretty good with technology because I had been in music for 10, 15 years at that time. And I can talk. I can maybe help teach other people how to talk. I think I can do that. So I put it out there to a person. I said, hey, would you pay me US dollars if I helped you start a podcast? And they said, yeah. And that's how Podcast Town was born. And I started doing some research about this on-demand craze because at the time, Netflix wasn't Netflix. It was here, but it wasn't. They were still sending DVDs in the mail, put it that way. Aging myself a little bit, but it wasn't what it was today. And I started doing research and I said, I think on-demand is going to be a thing, number one. And I think audio is going to be a thing. And I think business owners could benefit from being in front of their ideal clients, building trust, sharing their vision, building relationships, developing strategic partnerships. And so I said, I think the niche that I want to go into is businesses, because entrepreneurs absolutely need to build trust. They need to be building relationships, et cetera. And so that's what we did. And Podcast Town was born and that's what we do today is we're helping business owners and entrepreneurs leverage podcasting to grow their business.
I think this is such a great story that you've told of people getting to see where this all started for you. And people can connect the dots to where you are. And I love that you share, I did all these other jobs and I just hated them. But all those jobs were necessary, really. I always want people to look back with respect because we've all had jobs where you thought, wow, I just hate this. How do I get out of this? But if you look back, that job was necessary for you. That job gave you a talent, whether you were in music and at some point you didn't like it anymore, but look how it contributed to being a podcaster now. Or look at some job that if it hadn't been horrible, but it was just okay, you might still be marooned in something that's just okay when life is meant for more. And I think this is what life's all about. You choose something, you give it a try, you get from it. If you're smart, you get from it what you needed to get to the next thing. Don't stay in things that make you miserable for a long period of time. That does not serve you.
Yep.
And then go for what interests you. Go for where you would do it for free because you want more of it. Yes, I see that book, Flame Starter. We'll absolutely get to that. I'm going to cover that next. But let me stay here for a second because you launched this thing. You're not just about helping people make noise. You're helping them master message and method and mission. I'd love for you to break down for everybody your voice amplification stack and how that really changes the game for purpose-driven entrepreneurs.
Yeah, before I do that, Kelly, I'm going to share this one job with you. So okay. I worked for, it was an ammunition company. They made ammunition. My job for 8 hours a day, there was an assembly line. And I don't know if people are watching or listening, but if you're standing in front, so there's an assembly line in front where the rolls of the ammunition would go. And then behind me or on the side of me was a stack where you stacked there were like racks of ammunition. So my job for 8 hours a day was to take the stack from the conveyor belt and stack it on the pallet. That was my job for eight
hours. There is no hell hotter than that to me.
8 hours a day. But you know what I learned from it? I learned two things. I learned how to zone out because obviously I could do that without thinking much. But I learned how to think literally on my feet, but it allowed me to imagine. I would sit there and for 8 hours, I would just imagine what my life could be like in the next season. And so to your point, all of those jobs, each one taught me something and gave me a tool in my tool belt, right? And segueing into the framework, that's the first step. You have to understand me or you. Who are you? Who are you really? Who are you not? What makes you feel joy? What detracts from your joy in this season? And I think that's important because 10 years ago, my answer to you would be completely different than if you asked me the exact same question today, because I'm a different man than I was then. And and usually about every 3 to 5 years, we shift again. And so it's a cool kind of process that happens over and over of us becoming. So that's the first step in this cycle or circle is me. The second step is mission. What am I trying to do? Who am I trying to do it with? Like, where am I going? Why am I going? And what does it all mean? So really understanding and embracing that is the second step. The third step is the message. So now you know who you are, who you're not, where you're going, where you're not going. How are you going to communicate to either your team or the people that are already where you're going, or the people who are beside you, above, below? Like, what's your message? What is the impetus of why you're doing what you're doing? And then finally, your method. How are you going to execute it? Is it a podcast? Is it a radio show? Is it the written word? Is it, how are you going to execute the me, mission, message? So that's my mastery circle with the four pillars.
Love that. It's so solid. It's so beautifully foundational. If you can get that together, the rest will come. It just will. Yeah. Now, talk to me about strategic voice positioning. What's that actually mean today in what we've got is this content cluttered world? How does that really translate to real ROI?
I think the big thing to understand is perspective. It's very easy to write words on a page. A lot more difficult to have a unique perspective that only you share. Like, there's no other person on the face of this planet that has my experience and has the life that I've lived. Are there people who are also from a small town? Sure. Are there people that are in music? Sure. But are there people who are from a small town with a funny name, whose mother raised them with three other siblings, whose grandmother was an amazing support system, who has had a gazillion jobs, hated all of them but one? There's nobody else that has that perspective. So I think it's important to lean into that and to embrace that and not to be afraid of it, right? So that would be the foundational thing. It's just making sure that you're speaking from perspective and speaking from boldness and a comfortability with who you are.
You really do need to find, you need to discover what your own perspective is. And one thing that you brought up that I feel is so critical in the job that you had in the ammo company, where you're doing something incredibly repetitive, tedious, not stimulating at all, it sounds as if it allowed you really that valuable time to think about what you wanted, to envision it, to fantasize, to imagine other possibilities. And I think that's one of the things that is missing today in the generation that we're in right now. What's happening right now is that people don't intentionally create that space, that time to think. They're so busy responding to constant stimuli, whether it's your phone beeping. If I hear another beep from anything in my life, like I turned off all the notifications because it's an inundation of distraction. And listen, I grew up with television. I love TV at night or on the weekends, but I don't have it on the rest of the time. I was thinking about your being raised in a town of 600. You know what's missing so much today is when you had to go out in the cornfield and plow, or you had to feed the animals, or you had to deal with agriculture, whatever that gave you space where no one else was jabbering in your ear and you could just hear your own thoughts. Figure out what you think about something, not what everybody else is telling you to think. And I think your background sounds like, and especially with the ammo job, but also being in a small town, there's space to think. Do you think that has value?
For sure. So my hometown, Mounds, Illinois, is cool because it's located right at the edge of Illinois. So it borders Kentucky and it borders Missouri. But anything that you wanted to do that was fun was at least 35 minutes away. You went east, it was 35 minutes. You went west, 40 minutes. So we had to be good at finding things to do because there's literally nothing to do. And so that's why I played outside a lot. We had basketball when it was warm, and when it was cold out, we would play indoor, but we were always outside. We were always at our friend's house, and it was just a really cool way to grow up. And to your point, it really allowed you to understand the importance of community, the importance of getting along, the importance of really being in the moment and being present and enjoying what you do have and not focusing on what you don't have.
So true. And I was raised with a very strong mantra of you're going to be alone a lot in your life. You better learn how to entertain yourself. So it was great if you have friends or whatever, but there are a lot of times I needed to be home. My mom was super protective. And I remember saying, you better learn how to entertain yourself. So we all, because you want to want someone's company, but you don't want to need it. I think that turned out to be really helpful. So talk to me about the EMIT principle. I love this: education, motivation, inspiration, and transformation. How did that formula come together, and where have you seen it work so best in your life?
Oh, that's a great question. So I have these things that we have in the book called Elzeisms. And really what they are, they're proverbs, they're psalms, they're these age-old truths that I rephrased in my own way. And what they do is they build up what I call the EMIT principle. And so I'm all about transformation. Transformation only happens when you have certain elements. The first element is education. So if I know that I need to eat better, the very first thing I need to do is I need to be educated. What does that even mean? Does it mean I need to eat less sodium or protein? I need to get educated. And then what you do is you multiply that by the motivation. If I'm educated about how to eat right, but I'm not motivated to do it, my transformation is not going to be very good. And then there's inspiration. If I'm educated about it, I know what to eat, I know what not to eat. I'm mostly motivated, so I wake up and I do it sometimes, but I'm not inspired. My level of transformation is also impacted. But if I'm educated, motivated, and inspired to the top maximum capacity, then that is going to lead me to the maximum amount of transformation. So the EMIT principle is just a really cool way to remind myself that here are the elements that I need if I want to achieve transformation.
It's beautiful. And your book, Flamestarter, first of all, I love the name. People have to be interested, find out what's inside. And that's a really good description. You talk about peak performance without combustion, which every high achiever needs. What are the warning signs sometimes about that someone's about to crash? And what is the reset strategy that you use?
Yes, that also very good question. So what I don't share a lot, probably not as much as I should, is from my own story. I was going 1,000 miles an hour. As I said before, I was working my day job. I'm working a side hustle on weekends. I'm also volunteering at church. I'm doing all the stuff, right? And one day I woke up and I felt terrible. I literally had to drag myself out of the bed. Like my hips are hurting, my just low energy and just felt terrible. And being the stubborn entrepreneur, that high performer that I am, of course I worked through it. I powered through it. And I did that too many times and my body just gave out. And I go to the doctor and they're running all these tests and they're trying to figure out what's wrong with me. And my primary doctor, she couldn't figure out what was going on. And I had set up an appointment with the physician's assistant and she's asking questions and she's trying to get to the bottom of it. So she said, okay, I'm gonna do this battery of tests and then we'll meet again. So she does the test and I go in and she says, Elsie, I think we found out what's wrong with you. She said, you have Graves' disease, which is an immune deficiency that affects a lot of things in your body. And she said, okay, I'm gonna write you a prescription for this medication, but I don't want you to even go home. Don't even stop and go home. Go directly to the pharmacy and pick up this medicine. My numbers were that bad. It was like, it was off the charts. And so that kind of woke me up a little bit. And I'm like, okay, I need to do something different. And so that's where Flamestarter came from. It's okay. I don't want other entrepreneurs to have to get that bad before they recognize the signs of trouble. For me, it was changes in my physical body. And I was younger at that time. It was like, okay, I shouldn't be waking up tired. Number one, if you've slept for 6, 7, 8 hours, you should probably not feel tired when you wake up in the morning. That's a sign. That's a signal. Your hips shouldn't hurt. You shouldn't be irritable, right? For no reason. You shouldn't have brain fog. Like all the stuff, like listen to your body. Your body will communicate to you. When your body starts to tell you that something is off, take a step back and listen and go get help. Go to the doctor, figure out what's wrong. Don't wait until it's too late. So that's the first thing, right? When you think about some of the signs that you're going in the wrong direction. The other thing is alignment. Are you spiritually aligned? Most of us know when we're not. We know we're not quite where we want to be. And for me, I wasn't aligned. Are you emotionally aligned? Are the relationships in your life healthy? If not, why? We all play a part in our relationships. We're always at least 1% wrong. Figure out what your 1% is and fix it, right? These are signals. If you're overwhelmed, you feel like you're always going, if time has sped up or slowed down, like paying attention to those things. And I'll give you an example. When I'm stressed out and overwhelmed, 3 days feels like forever, even though it's just been 3 days. That's not normal for me. What's normal for me is for every day to feel full of joy, fruitful, the days usually go by pretty quick. I wake up and it's time to go home, or I look up and it's time to go home. That's my normal. I've found that when I get to the point where it's, oh man, it's, I'm looking at my watch and it's just lunchtime. That's a signal. I've learned to say, okay, why did this week feel like it was 4 weeks? And then working backwards and just paying attention to my normal. And when something is off, paying attention to it. And more importantly, doing something about it.
This is such a great part of the conversation. I love that you brought this up because it's so true. Your body tells you. I always ask, if I rarely ever get sick, but I always ask when it happens. I say, what are you trying to tell me? What is the message here that I need to get that apparently I haven't gotten yet? And usually similar when so much is going on and I'm not in the flow, all of a sudden you're not in the flow, you realize, and then all of a sudden you'll find you picked up the flu. I'm around people all the time. I never catch it. When I do, I know it's my body saying you need to slow down. And if you don't, we'll help you.
Yep.
And you're going to be taking a little break so you have some time to think about this. And really, it becomes this great conversation with you, yourself, because during that opportunity to slow down, you'd ask yourself those critical questions, which are, do I really want to be doing this? Or am I off track in a direction that isn't true to me or that doesn't make me happy? It's not just that, oh, this is a tough time. It's no, you're going in a direction that doesn't serve you. Rethink, relook at it, and take a different tack. I think these are gifts, and we miss those gifts all the time. I think the universe is speaking to us all the time, however you frame that for yourself. And I think one thing I really love about you is you really do talk about the balance of faith and strategy and execution working together. It's so important that be integrated. I really appreciate it. I think that's what's wonderful about your podcast. I think that's what's wonderful about your book. I think this is critical.
Yeah. And for me, it's everything. My faith is the foundation of everything. And so I more recently have been more and more intentional about putting that into my life and then into my business. But it's everything. It's what gives me hope. It's what helps me power through those times that are difficult, because entrepreneurship is hard. I don't know if people know that, but it's a very difficult thing and it's a calling. I feel I am called to be an entrepreneur. I believe one of the reasons I am on this planet is to be an entrepreneur, is to solve problems and issues and change lives through enterprise. And so my faith foundational to that, and it carries me through.
Listen, as a podcaster and someone who's created a podcast opportunity that allows other people to participate, what are some of the ways that you've grown your podcast to be not just about message, but to be monetarily beneficial? It's got to pay for itself soon. And then how did you monetize what you do, and how do you teach your students how to monetize?
So when I finally got a strategy, Kelly, because before I didn't, and still to this day, many people start podcasts with no idea how they're going to monetize. And the first thing I teach is know how you're going to monetize before you start the podcast. It saves you a bunch of time. But for me, relationships have been the number one ROI for my show. I can't tell you how many speaking engagements, invitations to being on other shows that I've gotten just because I've had a podcast. But my own products and services have probably been the number one way that I've monetized. Advertising and sponsorships are fine, but it takes a ton of numbers and downloads for that to start to make sense, especially for entrepreneurs. You already have a business. The number one way that you're going to drive trust and value and connection is through your podcast. And so that's usually the number one way that I recommend my folks monetize their show is through their own products and services.
Love it. Absolutely love it. I wanted to share with them that you brought a free gift to the show, and I'd love for you to tell people all about it because they need to get this.
Yes. So I'm a giver. I love to give value. The free gift is two things. You'll get the first chapter of Flamestarter, my book, The Art of Self-Mastery. And there is a free course as well. The combination of those two things, I promise you, you're going to get value from it and you won't regret it. So that's what I got for you.
I love that. And what do you think? What's one mind shift, one mindset shift, or a breakthrough that someone usually walks away with after they've dived into your framework? What do they walk away with? What's one thing you could say, listen, this will change the game for you?
Yeah. I think the main thing is shifting to the perspective on just how powerful you are and how you can literally change the trajectory of your life and the lives of everyone else that you are around.
What do you want your legacy to be? Really, you've done so many different things, but you seem excited about all the things you're doing right now. What do you want your legacy to be?
It's quite simple. When they put the dash between when it all started and when it all ended, I teased my family. I said, I want 100 years. And on December 2nd, I'm out. I'll do 100 years. LZ David Flinard III loved God, loved people, and loved his family, and lived his life without regrets. Left everything on the table.
Doesn't get better than Does not get better than that. Wow. LZ, massive shout out to you for bringing your uniqueness and your authenticity and giving us real deal insight today. You didn't just show up. You really brought it today. Thank you so much for being on the Six Figure Speaker Spotlight.
Thank you so much for having me. It was fun.
You got a gift. There's no doubt about it. And I think that you are a phrase that is personal to me. Something my mother told me when I was very young in a very specific way. She said, your job in life is to be interested and interesting. And I think you completely encapsulate that with who you are. And I hope that you will consider coming back on the show. I would love to have you again.
I'm going to hold you to that.
It's perfect. LZ's message, your voice isn't just something you have, it's something you use, which he does eloquently, enthusiastically, and brilliantly. And when you learn to do this with precision, that's when the real growth kicks in. And remember, visibility without purpose, it's just noise. So Elsie's really helping people turn that volume into value. If you want more, and I'm sure you do, from Elsie, head over to his website at elzflennard.com and grab his book, Flamestarter, The Art of Self-Mastery. It's on Amazon, of course. It's packed with strategies that could easily take you a decade to figure out on your own. But make sure to check out his podcast, Journey to Mastery. It's really where deep purpose meets real talk for entrepreneurs who are building with intention. And don't sleep on this free gift. We will have a link for you wherever you get your podcasts. And you're going to want to check this out. It's full of great facts and strategies and tips that are actionable. And the first chapter in his book, which I think will absolutely turn on the light to wanting that entire book. You are living proof that when you find your voice and you learn how to use it powerfully, speaking becomes a multiplier for your message and your mission and your momentum. So whether you're using a podcast mic, or you're on a keynote stage or a Zoom room, your voice really matters. And he's really showing us how he owns it. So if today's episode was great for you, if it hit home, please let us know. Spread the word. Like it, share it. It always helps us. Send it to a friend that keeps saying they want to start a podcast, but they just aren't ready. I think you need to have a conversation with LZ, and he may be able to change your mind, because every listen, everybody, this makes a difference, I think, to a lot of people. And the people that need to hear you, they're out there waiting. So get out there. We're on a mission to show you how powerful public speaking can be, not just for your business, but for your impact. So whether you're building a brand or you're leading a team or you're launching the next big thing, how you speak about it matters. And this show's here to help you get louder, clearer, and more effective. So with that said, thank you again, LZ, for being here. Thank you, everybody else who listens. And as always, I look forward to our next conversation. See you next time.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Six Figure Speaker Spotlight. We hope you enjoyed this deep dive once again into the remarkable stories and insights of our incredible guests. Their experiences and hard-earned, time-tested wisdom are not just meant to inspire you, but to provide you with actionable steps to take on your own path to success. Remember, you have a story to tell, and your voice has the power to transform your business and make lasting impact. And that's what it's all about. If you found value in today's episode, let us know. And I hope you'll take a moment and subscribe to The Spotlight wherever you listen to your podcasts so you never miss a thought-provoking or idea-producing conversation. I'm Kelly O'Hara, and I can't wait to see you back here for the next episode of the Six Figure Speaker Spotlight.